In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hebrews chapter 4 says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. Can you imagine how tempting it must have been for Jesus? Can you imagine how tempting it must have been on the top of that mountain to listen to his disciple when St. Peter said, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." It must have been awfully appealing for Jesus to listen to what St. Peter was suggesting there, because the first part of what Peter had to say was definitely true. It was good on the top of that mountain. One of the things that made it so good up there was the change of appearance in Jesus, which is why we call this Sunday Transfiguration. His clothing and his face lit up. So here you have the Son of God, who since his birth in Bethlehem has had his glory hidden under thick layers of humility. Now that glory shines through for the Son of God. And it was also good on the top of that mountain because of the company up there. Now, Moses and Elijah, arguably the two most important figures in the entire Old Testament. Moses, the great leader and lawgiver of Israel. Elijah, the great prophet to the nation of Israel. When you see them there on the top of the mountain, they're teaching you at least two things. One is that blessed are those who die in the Lord because they live in his heavenly kingdom. It also shows you that the entire Old Testament that those two men represent was leading up to this man, Jesus Christ, and his work, that he was the Messiah, the fulfillment of what the Old Testament is all about. It was good on the top of that mountain. And it must have been tempting, even though Peter didn't exactly know what he was saying in the moment, it must have been tempting for Jesus to listen to Peter when he said, "Lord, let's just put up three shelters, and Jesus, you stay here with Moses and Elijah." Must have been tempting, not only because what was up there on the top of the mountain was so beautiful and so glorious and so good, but also because what was waiting for Jesus at the bottom of the mountain was so terrible. Just think what is going to happen to Jesus after he climbs down from this mountain. It won't be long before he rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and then he's going to face rejection by his own countrymen, the people closest to him, who should have been the first to recognize who Jesus was. They are going to reject Jesus. Then he will be betrayed by one of his disciples, denied by another, and abandoned by the rest. Then it's the false accusations and the insults, the fists and the whips, and finally, the nails and the cross. It must have been an appealing suggestion to stay up there on that mountain, not only because what was up there was so very good, but because what was waiting at the bottom was so awful. Well, for a few minutes, let's leave Jesus, Moses and Elijah, Peter, James and John. Let's leave them on the top of the mountain. We'll rejoin them in a little while. Right now, I'd like to introduce you to a Christian young man named Joe. Joe is also on a mountaintop, so to speak. Joe works for a construction company where every day he is surrounded by coworkers who are constantly taking the name of Joe's Lord in vain, telling vulgar jokes, making snide, insulting comments about their wives and girlfriends. And Joe has decided in the middle of all this to just not say anything. Or if he does say anything, sometimes he actually joins in and tries to one-up his coworkers with little comments about his own wife. You see, this is kind of like Joe's mountaintop. This is the place in his life where things are easy and peaceful and calm. And he knows that if he climbs down from that mountain, he is going to face hardship, maybe even suffering in his life. Because you know what's going to happen if he does speak up about this. His co-workers are going to turn their sights straight on him, and his life is going to become miserable. So instead of climbing down that mountain, Joe just stays at the top where he is, where things are peaceful and safe and comfortable. Now meet Caroline. Caroline is an older Christian lady. She is also on her own kind of mountaintop. She has several children and several grandchildren who no longer worship their Savior, at least not together with their fellow Christians. And it's not hard for Caroline to tell from their words, from their behaviors, that these family members are wandering from the Christian faith. Caroline has decided she's not going to bring this up to her family, because she knows that if she raises this subject at all, even if she does it in the most loving and patient possible way, some of those family members are going to get annoyed with her. Some of them might even become angry with her, and they might not even want to come to Thanksgiving this year, and that would hurt Caroline. That would hurt her a lot. So instead, she just stays up on her mountain where it's peaceful and it's calm, and she keeps away from the suffering. Finally, meet Craig. Craig is also on a mountaintop as he fills out his weekly offering for church. It's 20 bucks. It's the same 20 bucks he's been giving every week since he was in college, and that's when Ronald Reagan was president. 20 bucks it was, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, because 20 bucks is easy. It is a comfortable amount for Craig to give. Now, he could probably give more, but he would have to give up a few of his creature comforts, or he might actually have to sit down and take an honest look at his finances and think about what his priorities in life really are. And if you've ever done that before, you know how uncomfortable that can be. So instead, Craig just stays up on the top of his mountain where it's easy, where it's comfortable, and he keeps away from what's hard. Now, there are endless examples of times in our lives when we Christians find ourselves on the tops of our own little mountains. We find ourselves in places that are relatively peaceful, safe, comfortable. And we know that if we climb down from those comfort zones, things are going to get harder. And we may even have suffering come into our lives. And of course, we would prefer to stay in the place where things are peaceful and easy and comfortable. And a lot of times, that's what we do. That is not what our Savior Jesus did. Jesus was on the top of a mountain where there was glory and peace and safety. And he knew exactly what was in store for him at the bottom of that mountain. Extreme suffering. Greater suffering than any of us could ever imagine. And Jesus climbed down anyway. And when we understand the reasons why our Savior Jesus did this, then we as his followers will be more willing to climb down from our own mountaintops in our own lives. But one of the reasons that Jesus was willing to climb down from that mountain and march straight into the teeth of suffering was that he understood this was the will of his heavenly Father. Yes, Jesus was going to face extreme hardship when he got to that mountain. Rejection and betrayal and abandonment and physical suffering and literally going through hell on the cross for our sins. But all of that was what his heavenly Father wanted. See, those two men standing with Jesus on the mountain, Moses and Elijah, they represented the prophets of the Old Testament who for 1,000 years had proclaimed with a unified voice that it was the Lord's will for his own son to suffer in our place for our sins so that we would not have to. Jesus walked down that mountain into suffering because he knew it's what his heavenly Father wanted him to do. And this is another reason. A cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son. Listen to him." Just as God the Father did at his son's baptism 3 years earlier in the Jordan River, the Father was proclaiming from heaven that, yes, Jesus is the one I have chosen. He is the Messiah who does this work of salvation for the world. And in that declaration from heaven, there was strength and there was encouragement from Jesus' Father for him to walk down that mountain and get the job done. Jesus understood the will of his heavenly Father, and he received the strength and encouragement from his Father. And so he walked down his mountain. Now, when we Christians find ourselves on the tops of our own little mountains in our own lives, like Joe and Caroline and Craig, the first thing we have to understand is what the will of our Heavenly Father is. What does he want Christians in those situations to do? Because yes, being that guy on the job site who speaks up for what is right is probably going to bring some hardship, maybe even some suffering into the life of a Christian. But it is God's will for the Christian in that situation to climb down from his mountain and do it. And if necessary, to suffer like his Savior. And yes, being that family member who gently and patiently and lovingly tries to call their members of the family back to the Christian faith is likely going to bring some difficulty, maybe even some suffering into the life of the Christian. But it is God's will for the Christian in that situation to climb down their mountain and do it, and if necessary, to suffer like their Savior. And yes, taking an honest look at finances and priorities is going to make the Christian uncomfortable. But it is God's will for Christians in that situation to climb down their mountain, and if necessary, to face that difficulty. Sometimes doing God's will means that life is going to be harder. You know, there is an idea right now floating around Christianity that what God really wants for his people is for us to be happy. And if you are a happy person, if your life is happy, then you must be living the right way. I'm sorry, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but you're not reading your scripture very carefully if that's the conclusion that you've reached, because what God tells us in his word is that his will for our lives is for us to keep his commandments. And you know, sometimes doing God's will makes you happy. Sometimes you do what God wants you to do and everything breaks your way and he immediately rewards you with great happiness. And other times, doing God's will, keeping his commandments, is going to make life really hard. But if that's what it brings into the life of a Christian, then it does. We Christians need to be willing to leave these safe places in our lives, these comfortable places, to walk down our mountains and do the will of God like our Savior. But before we even try it, before we even attempt to do this, there is something else that we need to understand too. Because just knowing what the will of God is, just knowing what he wants you to do, that's never going to get it done. That's not going to be enough. We also need to appreciate this. Jesus didn't just walk down his mountain because it was the will of his heavenly Father. He also walked down that mountain because his heart is full of love for you and me. And this is what we Christians are about to see up close and in living color in the coming season of Lent. That everything Jesus endured after he got to the bottom of that mountain was because he loves you and me dearly. And he wanted us to be with him forever in his heavenly kingdom. And this is one of the really remarkable things about the love that Jesus has for us. That he wanted us people who are too often unwilling to walk down our own mountains, he wanted us to be forgiven and to be saved. So he walked down his own to achieve that salvation. Follow Jesus down from his mountain in the season of Lent and see the depth of his love for you. And then you and I will walk down all of our own mountains too.
Amen.